What a wonderful occasion. You know that Forrest's place in this society is established almost without comparison. We would have to think long and hard about the number of members over the years since 1964 who have given more generously of time and money and effort and speaking and all sorts of other things to make this society continue to be what it is. Now, despite the fact that I'm Forrest's junior in almost every way, I actually have been a member of this society longer than he has. As a matter of fact, you could almost say, before Forrest was, I am. We met at a regional meeting in Alexandria, Virginia in 1978. Bill Dennis was the program chairman, and Forrest and Mel Bradford, God rest his soul, and I gave our papers. Forrest was about Alexander Hamilton, the best biography of that difficult man that has yet been written, had just come off his pen. He doesn't use computers, you know. And I had the temerity along the way to question Hamilton's enthusiasm for putting down the Whiskey Rebellion. Forrest corrected me. Now, Forrest can correct people. For me, he did it gently. He did it very gently. And I think it was because he had liked what I had to say about towns moving into the West. He once wrote an essay saying essentially that the significance of the frontier was that there was no significance. I can't tell you how grateful I became for his gentle correction when later in the meeting he responded to the retired head of the National Endowment for the Humanities under the Nixon administration, who was trying to present himself to us as a conservative. Forrest, in the question and answer session, started by saying, "Have you no decency, sir?" And after that, he got angry. What an eloquent and withering description of Caesar's excesses. And Ellen told me later, after I got to know them a little better, that you ain't seen nothing if you hadn't seen Forrest in the 1960s. And of course, she would never have spoken in exactly those terms. But the idea is there. You know, the Celtic warriors and storytellers that Forrest and his friend Grady McWhinney wrote about had nothing on the MacDonald who showed the world that Charles Beard didn't know what he was talking about, who campaigned for Barry Goldwater as an Ivy League professor, who quit academia for a while to raise hogs, and at his first faculty meeting at the University of Alabama, gave a quiet but very reasoned argument for the abolition of tenure. His dean informed him that he was excused from all further faculty meetings. Now, despite this rather combative side, I think Forrest is the most loyal man I've ever known, and certainly one of the most decent. And I have ever known this has an awful lot to do with a many-decade love affair with Ellen Shapiro MacDonald. When you talk about one flesh, here is the biblical injunction incarnate. Now, I'm going to ask Steve Klugowitz to come up. He's going to talk about, among other things, the fact that he was Forrest's student. And Lenore Ely will talk about the same thing a few minutes later. And he's also going to talk about the book. And he warned me that he was only going to have one problem, and that's keeping his composure in talking about his mentor. So I'm sure we'll all be ready to understand his rightful emotion. And it won't come out anyway. He'll do great. So Steve, come on up.